This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, February 28th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O @sportstalknetwork.com. As always, got a lot to do today. We're going to start with the Daytona 500, which turned out to be a bizarre leading up to the race and then a bizarre race itself. Of course, it was supposed to be on Sunday. It was postponed till Monday at 12 noon. Then, of course, they didn't start till last night at 7 o'clock. The bizarre thing was also it really was scheduled to be two Sundays ago, but because of the NFL lockout and the thought that the Super Bowl might be played two Sundays ago had there been an NFL lockout, they decided to move the Daytona to this past Sunday, and of course that didn't work out very well. But as for the race itself, Matt Kenseth wins NASCAR's biggest race, but it was just a crazy race in the second lap. So these guys waited all day Sunday, virtually all day Monday, started at 7 o'clock, and in lap two, Elliott Sadler bumps the back of Jimmy Johnson. That sets off a big car crash right at the beginning of the race. Last year's winner, Trevor Bayne, gets wrecked for the race. Danica Patrick gets wrecked. They got to take her car off the track. She doesn't come back until 62 laps later. So, in essence, of course, done for her when this happened in lap two. And, of course, Elliott Sadler was done as well. So as the race goes on, another strange thing that happened is 40 laps from the end, Juan Pablo Montoya, under a caution flag, somehow lost control of his car. He said something happened to his car. He still doesn't know what it was, and it slid into one of those jet dryers that were on the track, and he blew up the jet dryer. There were 200 gallons of oil, of jet fuel oil in there, and it caused an incredible fire. Thankfully, Montoya and the driver of the jet dryer walked away. But that caused another 2-hour and 5-minute delay, so the Daytona 500 did not finish to the wee hours of the morning. An exciting finish among Matt Kenseth, his teammate Greg Biffle, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kenseth holds on to win. Earnhardt Jr. just gets up to beat Greg Biffle for second. After the race, Earnhardt Jr. said Matt's car was just too fast. Kenseth gets a $1.4 million minimum purse. It was the second time in the last 4 years he's won Daytona. The last time he won, it was in a rain-shortened race, so this is probably a little sweeter, I would think. Kenseth also won one of the 150-mile races as well earlier in the week at Daytona, so the Gatorade qualifying race, so a very big week for him. Earnhardt Jr. just misses again, third time he's been second. Biffle, of course, trying to beat his teammate, but certainly, you know, he wished he had won, but happy that his teammate won if he wasn't his. But just a wacky, wacky day and a half, frankly, and then a crazy race as well. Again, Danica Patrick, just, you know, a lot of people disappointed. Jimmy Johnson was also knocked out in that lap two crash, the five-time champion, and he said, boy, it's frustrating to just, you know, wait all this time, prepare for this race. You know, it's a little weird for NASCAR. They have their Super Bowl the first week of the year. Daytona 500 is considered the Super Bowl of NASCAR. So a lot of disappointed people, bad way to start the season for a lot of people. There were multiple other accidents, but the one early in the race, and then the Montoya, just one car crash, frankly, into the jet dryer were the two lowlights, I would say. Some people would say highlights. But the final standings, the top five were Matt Kenseth, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Greg Biffle, Denny Hamlin, and Jeff Burton finished fifth. Those are the results for the 2012 Daytona 500. First time ever raced at night, first time ever raced on a Monday. Frankly, the first time in the 54-year history that it was ever postponed from the Sunday at 12 noon start that it was supposed to be this past Sunday. But again, It's interesting how the NFL lockout or non-lockout really affected a number of things, including the day that the Daytona 500 was supposed to take place, which, of course, put it off to this past Sunday, which led to Monday at 7. Matt Kenseth wins NASCAR's biggest race, the Daytona 500, at the Daytona International Speedway. Few NBA notes. Of course, the All-Star break, you know, the All-Star game just quickly fades from memory. But the season starts again tonight. Kobe Bryant did break his nose during the All-Star game where, you know, it was a pretty hard foul from Dwayne Wade. I was surprised, actually. Kobe didn't seem to complain that much about it. I understand, you know, he takes it and he plays when he's hurt, blah, blah, blah. But he's going to see an ear, nose, throat specialist today to see if he can play tomorrow against Minnesota. Now, it's Kobe Bryant, so he probably will play. I mean, it's hard to play with a broken nose, but not impossible. Maybe he'll have to wear one of those masks. Apparently, there was some internet reports that he had a concussion, but everyone now says that there was no concussion. Look, he did take a hard hit, but he took a hard hit on his nose, and he's Kobe Bryant. A couple of other things. Linsanity continues tomorrow night. Cleveland Cavaliers come to New York to play the Knicks before the Knicks go on a very tough road trip. I think the first three games are at the Celtics, at San Antonio, at Dallas. So, again, the Knicks aren't sneaking up on anybody now. Carmelo's back. Amari's back. It's going to take them some time to gel, but they have an incredibly talented team. I mean, J.R. Smith as well. Tyson Chandler, of course, who I thought was the key to Dallas winning the championship. I think the Knicks this year can make a run in the playoffs. I don't think they're a championship contender, but the Linsanity continues. But Kyrie Irving, who is just unbelievable and probably the rookie of the year right now. Kyrie Irving is the point guard for the Cavaliers, so it'll be another interesting matchup for Jeremy Lin. But the Knicks at home should be able to beat the Cavaliers. Of course, they've had a couple of not-so-great home losses, including to the New Orleans Hornets about a week ago, so you never know what's going to happen. But certainly the future is bright in New York. You can make a case, whatever you think of Jeremy Lin, from a basketball-playing perspective, you can make a case that he was the MVP of the NBA. You know, a lot of people saying flash in the pan, look what the Heat did to him, blah, blah, blah. But he was the MVP in the NBA. Look how horrid the Knicks were before he started. And look how good they've become since they started. Obviously, correctly, not beating a lot of top teams. Although they did beat Dallas and the Lakers, admittedly at home, the Knicks' problem is going to be where do they stand on the road against good teams. Obviously, Miami manhandled them, but Miami, to me, is the best team in the NBA, and they're going to win the championship. But, you know, how will they do on the road at Boston? Or at San Antonio, always a tough place to play. Or at Dallas, looking for revenge from when the Knicks beat the Mavericks at the Garden. So a lot going on. That's tomorrow night. The Knicks play Cleveland at home, and then they go on the road for a very difficult road trip. One other NBA announcement. The city of Sacramento has agreed to fund most of a new arena for the Sacramento Kings. It's a $387 million deal with the city of Sacramento paying most of it. The owners, the Maloof brothers, and AEG, the arena operator, will also contribute to that $387 million, but it's mostly from the city of Sacramento. Now, you probably know that Kevin Johnson, who was a super point guard, talk about a quick point guard who could play. Kevin Johnson is now the mayor of Sacramento, and the Maloof brothers were quick to give him credit, saying this would not have happened without Kevin Johnson. And again, Kevin Johnson, the mayor of Sacramento and a former NBA player, probably had a better view and understanding of both sides of this equation than frankly anybody else. It probably was good that a former NBA player with a brain is the mayor of Sacramento to see the benefit to the city and, of course, the benefit to the team in the NBA. Now, the Kings have not been good for a long time. They haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. They've had five head coaches in those 6 years. But they do have some good young talent, and they will be staying in Sacramento, and they will be getting a new arena. There are a couple of NBA games on TV tonight. Of course, we'll get to that later in the show. But that's the latest from the NBA as the season resumes tonight. And again, Jeremy Lin gets back the most popular guy at the NBA All-Star game, amazingly. compared to where he was a month ago. That starts back up tomorrow night. A few Major League Baseball notes. Yadier Molina of the Cardinals about to sign a five-year, between $70 and $75 million extension with the Cardinals. Obviously, they don't want to lose him, a stellar catcher, a pretty good clutch hitter. Molina about to sign a five-year extension. That will make him the second highest-paid catcher behind the great Joe Mauer. So Yadier Molina looks like he's going to stay with the St. Louis Cardinals. On the other side of that, Jason Varitek, the longtime Boston Red Sox catcher, is expected to announce his retirement today. He'll be 40 years old in April. Frankly, the Red Sox, I think, kind of pushed him into retirement by only offering him a minor league deal this year. To me, kind of insulting to the captain of the Red Sox, to the guy who was the key contributor in the Red Sox, breaking that 86-year Babe Ruth curse, a member of both Boston Red Sox World Series championship teams. He goes out as the all-time leading Boston Red Sox catcher in games played, hits, runs, home runs, and RBIs. Varitek with 193 home runs as a Red Sox and 757 RBIs. He also caught more no-hitters than any catcher in the history of the game. He caught four, also won the two World Series, a three-time All-Star, a Gold Glove winner, a Silver Slugger winner. Again, people forget that Varitek was a good hitter and a very tough out years ago, as opposed to the last couple of years where, you know, he just was a part-time catcher, essentially, and had his issues. But Jason Varitek, who you always had to respect as a leader, as a tough guy, one of those all-time, I'm not saying much, I'm just playing the game. And I certainly always thought that was a great thing about him. Jason Varitek expected to announce his retirement today, as Yadier Molina expected to sign the second biggest contract for a catcher ever with the St. Louis Cardinals. That's also expected to happen today. A few things going on in the NFL. The combine continues. Robert Griffin's eye-popping workout has frankly made the St. Louis Rams very happy. As you know, the Indianapolis Colts have the first pick. They're still expected to pick Andrew Luck. But the Rams have the second pick, and they have Sam Bradford. And it looks like they're going to trade that pick. The Cleveland Browns at four, the Redskins at six, the Miami Dolphins at eight, all looking for a quarterback. Either the Redskins or the Dolphins might win the Peyton Manning sweepstakes if Manning becomes a free agent on March 8th, as is expected. But right now, the Rams have had trade talks with all three of those teams, the Browns, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. Could somebody from deeper down come up, trade up to get him? Well, it's going to take a lot to get the number two pick in the draft. As for Robert Griffin, who had that sensational workout, he said he was told on the field that his 40-yard dash score was time was 4.35, not 4.41. But the point of it all is he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the history of football, if not the fastest, faster than Cam Newton for sure. But his quote was interesting. He's a confident guy, obviously a bright guy, but his quote is, quote, there is no quarterback in this draft that has the abilities that I do, close quote. And, you know, that's an interesting quote. Luck is viewed to be more of a pocket passer, but Griffin certainly has a strong arm, but is also lightning quick on his feet, and has been able, I think, to prove to the scouts at the combine that he has incredible athleticism, not just a fast guy, but he can jump. He's very smart. He killed it in the interviews, according to all accounts. So Robert Griffin III, the price has risen on him. He's probably the number two pick in the draft. But as of right now, we don't know who the number two pick in the draft is. No, who's going to have the number two pick in the draft? It looks like now it'll either be the Browns, the Redskins, or the Dolphins. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get Out of Debt Quick Promise is asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
A few other NFL notes. Brandon Jacobs of the Giants, his agent, met with the Giants at the Combine in Indianapolis over the weekend, but they're not close to an agreement. The Giants want him to take a big pay cut. Now, Jacobs did take a pay cut last year to be with the Giants this past year, the Super Bowl winning year. He was kind of a disappointment. He did say some stupid things. A lot of people in New York wouldn't be sad if he left. But I think from a football perspective, the change-up, if you will, between Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, the powerful Jacobs, the fast Bradshaw, is something that the Giants need. I think it helped their passing game. Obviously, they've become more of a passing team than a running team with the emergence of Eli Manning as an elite quarterback, with the emergence of Victor Cruz as a star. Jacobs not as important as he might have been a couple of seasons ago, but I think from a Giant perspective, if they can't keep him, and it's going to be a negotiation, I think he's due $4.4 million next year, and there's no way the Giants are paying that, including a $500,000 bonus, I think, in mid-March. So as usual, as with Peyton Manning and his $28 million bonus on March 8th, that'll be the deadline. If the Giants are going to keep him, they're going to have Jacobs wrapped up before that $500,000 bonus is due. Otherwise, they'll probably just cut him loose. Again, the change in the league the last few years, it's been becoming a passing league for the last few years, but this year especially, with it seems like everybody and his mother throwing for 4,000 yards and three guys throwing for 5,000 yards when nobody had ever, only Marino had thrown for over 5,000 yards before this year, the importance, frankly, of running backs has gone down a little bit in the last couple of years. So Jacob said he wants to be a Giant. A lot of Giant fans will be happy if he leaves. But we'll just have to see if they can come to some middle ground. But it looks like the Giants kind of hold the cards here. If Jacobs really, really wants to be a Giant, he's going to have to take another pay cut. Just a couple of dates to remember. March 21st is the Robert Griffin III Pro Day. He moved it up a day because he had originally scheduled it for March 22nd, but Andrew Luck's pro day is March 22nd. Presumably a lot of the same scouts want to go see both. And then, of course, the big day is April 26th, the NFL draft, where, again, it's expected that Luck will go number one and Robert Griffin III will go number three. A few college basketball games of importance last night. Number four, Kansas, goes to Oklahoma State. If they can win on the road at Oklahoma State, they become the Big 12 champions, and that's exactly what happened. Kansas, up 8 at the half, wins 70-58 over Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, not even a 500 team. Kansas now 25-5. Tyshawn Taylor with 27 points. Really a very good player, obviously. But I think the better player on that team, and maybe the National Player of the Year, is Thomas Robinson. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. He's really the – if Kansas is going to the promised land, Robinson's the one who's going to get them there. So Kansas clinches the Big 12, beats Oklahoma State 70-58, moves to 25-5, and now I think they have a good chance to be a number one seed since they beat Missouri the other day and jumped over Missouri in the AP Top 25. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. A couple of other Top 25 games. Number 20, Notre Dame, goes down to D.C. to play number 9, Georgetown. And Georgetown, a very good team, good defensively. You know, John Thompson III, the coach now. I think they can make a run in the tournament this year. Georgetown buries Notre Dame. Georgetown 59, Notre Dame 41. Now, Notre Dame lost Tim Abramidis, their best player, very early in the year, and they've really been given kudos and should be to Mike Bray and the team. But they now lost their last two. They lost to St. John's over the weekend. That's a bad loss for Notre Dame. They're now 20-10. They're obviously going to be a tournament team, but they're not at that high level. It's amazing. Had they had Abramidis, the sky would have been the limit for Notre Dame this year. But Georgetown beats them. Georgetown 59, Notre Dame 41. Jason Clark, 13 points, 6 rebounds. Henry Sims, 12 points, 5 assists. Greg Whittington leads all scorers with 15. Notre Dame only shoots 33%. Nobody in double figures for Notre Dame, which is their telling problem. Of course, Abramidis was their leading scorer. Atkins and Martin both had 9 for Notre Dame, but they could only muster 41 points against a very good Georgetown team. In the Big East, Syracuse 16-1. They've clinched the Big East. Marquette 13-3. They're in second. Georgetown moves into a tie for third. They are 12-5 in the Big East. And again, I think they're going places in the tournament. One other game, Texas Tech on the road against number 13 Baylor. Baylor buries Texas Tech 40-15 at the half. 77-48 is your final. Texas Tech having a terrible year, 8-21. Baylor moves to 25-5. Quincy Acey for Baylor, 12 points, 7 rebounds. Perry Jones III, 15 points, 10 rebounds. I still think he's their best player. He was in that New York Times cover story last year. Interesting story. But this year he has been up and down. I still think he's their best player. And A.J. Walton had 13 off the bench for Baylor. Baylor 77, Texas 48. Quickly, a couple of women's basketball games because there's a couple of things going on now. It looks like the era, if you will, of UConn and Tennessee dominating is pretty much over. Baylor beats Texas A&M on the road yesterday 69-62 to go to 30-0. Brittany Griner, the 6'8 star, superstar for Baylor, has 25. Allison Sims, also 25 for Baylor. They are undefeated this year. It's going to be hard to stop her come tournament time. But also there's been a changing of the guard in Big East officially yesterday at number 3 Notre Dame. Goes up to UConn and beats number 4 UConn handily, 72-59. They clinch. Notre Dame clinches their first Big East title, obviously ending the long streak of UConn. Skylar Diggins, a star point guard, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. Notre Dame women's team is now 10-1 versus the top 25. So give them a lot of credit. They've They've ended the long streak of UConn's women in the Big East. One other basketball note, Connecticut men's coach Jim Calhoun underwent successful surgery for a spinal condition that has forced him to miss UConn's last seven games. Was performed on Monday at Beth Israel Medical Center in Manhattan, and it involved removing a large extruded disc fragment that had been pressing on a spinal nerve. Calhoun's expected to miss a few more games, but then expected to come back. And there's a real question, frankly, as to whether or not UConn's going to make the men are going to make the NCAA tournament this year. Want to switch now to the NHL. A few games yesterday. The Rangers, the Devils go into the Garden to play the Rangers. Always a tough game. Classic goalies, Marty Brodeur against the King, Hedring Lundqvist. The Rangers beat the Devils at the Garden 2-0. Carl Hagelin with his 11th of the year. Ryan Callahan with his 25th of the year. A defensive hockey game, the Devils with only 13 shots on goal, the Rangers with 15 shots on goals. Lundqvist gets his 8th shutout of the year. Again, he's playing at an incredibly high level, certainly giving Ranger fans hopes of another Stanley Cup. And Brodeur, for his part, has come back tremendously. He was hurt early in the year. The Devils were not playing well, but he's playing much better as well. But yesterday, the Rangers 2, the Devils nothing. That right now, two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the NHL. The Kings come cross-country to play the Nashville Predators. Nashville 2, Los Angeles 1. Patrick Hornqvist with his 18th goal of the year turned out to be the game winner. Dustin Brown had his 18th for the Kings. Nashville 2, Los Angeles Kings 1. Edmonton at Winnipeg, a Canadian rivalry. The Oilers beat the Jets. Edmonton 5. Winnipeg 3, Ryan Whitney with his second goal of the year for Edmonton, Ryan Jones with his 14th, Taylor Hall with his 23rd, and Jordan Eberle with his 28th goal of the year. For the Jets, Kyle Wellwood scored his 13th, and Nick Antropov scored his 9th, Edmonton 5, Winnipeg 3. Just a couple of other games quickly. St. Louis goes up to Calgary to play the Flames and beat the Flames. St. Louis having a very good year. St. Louis 3, Calgary 1. Calgary scored the first goal. Curtis Glencross got his 19th. But then St. Louis comes back with three unanswered, including two by Jason Arnott, his 14th and 15th of the year. St. Louis 3, Calgary 1. And the final game of the night, Anaheim comes to Colorado to play the Avalanche. Colorado 4, Anaheim 1. Ryan O'Reilly with his 16th for Colorado. Matt Duchene with his 13th. The only goal for Anaheim, Bobby Ryan, with his 23rd of the year. Colorado 4, Anaheim 1. I want to turn quickly now to the TV for tonight. Not the greatest games in the world, first day back in the NBA, but on NBA TV, 8 o'clock Eastern, the New Orleans Hornets go to Chicago to play the Bulls. The Hornets have been playing better. They're still a bad team, but they have been playing better of late. And the Nets, you know, a lot was made of the fact that Darren Williams, who's a Dallas native, would consider going back to Dallas. I think that's only if Dwight Howard does not come up to New Jersey from Orlando. But today, after the All-Star game in Orlando, Darren goes home to the Mavericks, to his hometown, to lead the Nets at the Mavericks. That's 8:30 Eastern. That's on the YES Network, which, again, is found in a lot of places in the country. Hockey. There's a doubleheader on the NBC Sports Channel tonight, starting at 7:30 Eastern, the Kings at the Minnesota Wild. After that, at 10:30 Eastern, the Flyers at the San Jose Sharks. Of course, that's 7:30 on the West Coast. Both of those on the NBC Sports Channel. If you get MSG on MSG Plus tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern, the Islanders go down to Washington to play the Capitals. A few other college basketball games tonight. 7 o'clock Eastern, Michigan State at Indiana on ESPN, 7 o'clock Eastern, Kansas State at Texas A&M on ESPN2, 7 o'clock Eastern, Mississippi at Arkansas at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU, DePaul at West Virginia, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG, and two games at 9 Eastern tonight. Billy Donovan's Florida team at Vanderbilt, 9 o'clock Eastern, ESPN, and Duke at Wake Forest, 9 o'clock Eastern at ESPNU. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.